Welcome back, everybody, to another exciting episode of Cast to the Past, the time-traveling podcast where best friends and other people get together to look at old video games in a new light. My name's Josh.
And I'm Tom. Did you get this letter, Josh? I don't know if you still do paper mail. I do paper mail. So,
no.
You know, we emailed out for that sponsorship from that video game corporation. And this is what I got back. Hey, numbskulls. Thanks for your interest, but you can't hang out with Little P and the QTubers. Your channel sucks too much. I do have three nincompoops that you can hang out with as long as you keep them from bothering me. Piss off. Signed, the boss. And I guess that's why you three are here today? We have Game Carp. Where are you from?
That's close enough. I think
it's
Game Corp. Game Corp.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And who are you three gentlemen for our listeners who have not been to Game Corp yet?
Well, I'm Cowboy.
I'm Jake.
And I'm JB, aka Jelly Bean.
That'll
multi-flavored.
I thought it meant just butter, but jelly bean is better. I have to say.
Ah, we do not touch that butter game. No, thank you.
Not after the incident.
That avenue has been taken.
The margarines on that market are terrible.
Wow.
The margarine margins.
Oh, that was good.
I can't believe these numbers. But what I can believe is that we are joined today by the hosts of Head to Head, a video game podcast, and we are so happy to have you guys here. Thank you for joining us.
Yay!
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We're super excited.
Josh, what are we talking about today, though?
Well, today we're talking about Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy. We're going back to school, boys.
Yep. If you're on the bus right now, listening to all of us, and you don't want to go back to school, well, you can go back to Jedi school with us right now as we explore this 2003 title. And so let's get a roundtable feel out here. Start with Josh. Is this the first time you played this game?
No. I played this game back when it came out. I was all in on the Jedi Knight series or the Dark Forces series, depending on how far back you want me to go. I've played it on PC. I've played it on the PlayStation 1. I've played it on the GameCube. I've played it on the Xbox. I played it on the PC again. Yes. And now, actually, on the PlayStation 5.
Okay. All right. Cowboy, what about you?
So, technically, no. That's the worst part. But I'm going to say yes, because just before this was Outcast, Jedi Outcast, which, from what I read, is the same game. And just like Josh, I played the shit out of this. I love this game. Now, I'm a full-on PC gamer. I was all about the whole server browser, jumping with a bunch of people, LAN parties. I was huge during that era, and I played tons and tons of this game. I think it's great.
All right. Jake, how about you? What is your lifetime history with Jedi Academy?
This is my very first time playing this game, or playing any game in the Jedi Knight series. Okay, this is super stupid. I was totally under the impression that Jedi Academy was some sort of Jedi simulator that was in first person and was floaty, and you got to do like a VR missions-esque version of being a Jedi. I don't know where I got the assumption. I have no idea. Maybe I watched a multiplayer video or something. But I passed it off. I was like, this game is not for me. This sucks.
Right.
But playing it today, well, you know, for the show over the last couple of days, like I beat it in like a day or two. And I was like, this game's fucking cool. But I mean, we'll get into it.
Well, spoilers, that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, sorry.
Cool.
Good night, everybody!
But JB, for real, JB, what about you?
So I thought I had played this game. I had vivid memories of playing this game when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played it, and I was like, this isn't what I remember. Like, not even a little bit. What's going on here? So I don't know what game I played, but it wasn't this one. And this was a pretty good game. So I did play a lot of Star Wars games growing up. I think it might have been Outcast. I know I played that with Cowboy. Was that the multiplayer one?
It is, and I did the same thing. I was like, all right, let's jump back into this old chestnut. What is this? What is this game? I didn't play this. I did do research and realize that I played the one before. But yeah, I think it was you and me. Same thing.
Yeah, that must have been it.
You guys are killing me. You guys are killing me. You're the reason why we chose like this game. Like, okay, to part the kimono, like we were presented with a list like a while ago. And like, hey, we got these games opening. Would you like to jump on one? JB was like, that's my shit. I played this game. I played this game so much. I love this game. And I'm like, cool, I've never played it before. And he's like, fuck yeah. And you're blowing my mind right now, dude.
It was such a good game, whatever I was playing in my head. It was so good.
It was the instinct, you know? He used the force and he just knew it was the right choice.
Oh my gosh.
You're killing me.
Getting into it.
Tom, what about yourself?
Like Jake, I am also a complete noob to this game. I was not a PC gamer growing up, but I heard a lot about this game and the game that came before it, Jedi Outcast. I remember an episode of X-Play back in the day on G4/Tech TV giving Jedi Outcast like a rave review. And I know this was the much loved sequel to that. So sitting down to play this for the show, my first time experience with it. But we're all talking about different years, different annals of experiences with this. I think we should kind of narrow down, Josh, maybe the nitty gritty of this game.
Oh, the nitty gritty? Yes, we do that all the time. Tom, tell me about the nitty gritty. What's happening with Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy?
Well, it's interesting is that it's already happened. But Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy released on Mac on September 16, 2003. And one day later, as a Windows release. And then on November 18, 2003, we got the Xbox version. And since then, it has been ported to several other things, including a big release last year on current generation consoles. It was developed by Raven Software. Who has any background with Raven outside of these Jedi games? Because I was pleasantly surprised to see that they had developed a couple big franchises I'm familiar with. They developed the X-Men Legends games on the PlayStation 2 and the first Marvel Ultimate Alliance title, which I had no idea they were involved with, but I thought that was really cool to learn. Published by LucasArts in North America and redacted worldwide. Yeah, R.I.P. No more LucasArts. And I believe it was Jake or JB mentioned, or maybe, sorry, I think Cowboy, I think it was you who said, I play Jedi Outcast, which is quote-unquote the same game as this. So the thing is, Jedi Outcast comes out in 2002, big critical commercial success, and LucasArts goes to Raven. They're like, more, give us more. So this was done in a year, very quickly to tie into all the hype around that game. So that quick development time means they borrowed a lot of assets, a lot of similar things, but they expanded on what Jedi Outcast did in some pretty interesting ways, specifically with the progression system. This has a lot more open tiered progression for players to choose how they get through the game, but also who they get through the game with. This game has a super cool character customization system, like right off the bat. So let's get into it. What did we pick? Who did we make for our starring Jedi character? For Jaden, I believe is the default name either way.
Yeah, I went instantly with I think they're called a Rodan. They look like a toad balloon. They have this little puffy face mouth, and I always pick the weirdest looking one because I know the voice actor isn't gonna do a voice for an alien. And lo and behold,
I'm Jeff.
Here comes this weird squiddly alien. He goes, "Hello, my name's Jeff
Jaden.
Nice to meet you, Jaden." Just with it doesn't fit, and I love it. I love it.
Do you think Will Smith is a fan of this game?
Will Smith?
I have no idea.
His son, yes. Jaden Smith?
Oh. Maybe.
I mean, Men in Black 2, I really thought you were going that direction.
I just picture him with that Leo DiCaprio meme. He's just sitting on the couch playing Jedi Academy, and he's like, ooh, when he sees the day. Yeah.
So I was looking at the different characters, and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to be. I was thinking Rodan, and I tried all the different options and the different clothes and everything. Didn't really like the way it looked. I tried the other, like, hellspawn alien. I don't remember which one that one was, but it was disgusting, and I did not want to stare at that all game.
You're playing Doom.
It was kind of like Doom. It seemed like a character model out of Doom. So I settled on the safe choice, which was standard Caucasian male. It looked like me, which was kind of cool.
Y'all playing the white man.
That's right.
So seems like you guys went with the Rodan route. I'm more of a Mechagodzilla kind of guy myself. So that's who I chose. No, I did the exact same thing, man. I was thinking, I was like, when did these come out? The closest movies to these was 1, 2, and 3. I'm like, what fits? How about the most unassuming white man I can choose. He had blonde hair and everything. And it was like, hello, I'm Jaden. How are you? And that's exactly who I went through. I want to tangent just for a second, because I played all the way through. And when I was reading like who was voice acting and things like that, because I didn't really like the male voice actor, I was reading through and I saw that Jennifer Hale of Mass Effect fame voiced female Jaden, and I was like, son of a bitch. And I jumped in like it. Yes, I jumped in like 2 hours before we started recording. I started playing. I was like, man, that's so much better.
He's such a big fan of the female Shepard voice work. He's always raved about it.
Femship 100%. Yeah, Femship all the way. But so yeah, sad. I regretted my decision immensely. But I like the game.
Gotcha. Yeah, Jennifer Hale, voice acting legend. In a recent game we covered, Metal Gear Solid 2, she plays Emma Emmerich, the little sister of Otacon.
Not for long.
Well, I mean, for as long as she's in it.
That's a way to put it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I found that out because I picked a female Twi'lek alien, the kind of curvy tentacle serving a Jabba the Hutt guy. Jabba no bother. You know, I picked like a bright yellow Twi'lek woman and decked her out all in black in like a Pittsburgh Steelers Batman color scheme and just rolled with it. And I was like, all right, yeah, let's just see what happens here. And Josh, what about you?
So, you know me, you know, just the average middle-aged white guy living in Central America. So I decided to choose the average middle-aged white guy living in the Star Wars universe.
Central Star Wars.
Yeah.
Midwest of Star Wars.
I'm from the Central Galaxy. It's a quiet place.
My planet makes a lot of corn.
So yeah, we all had our nice little hero in the opening crawl. They're described as a prodigy who built their own lightsaber. And it's like, ooh, wow. Mm. But that's a big thing in that this game lets you use a lightsaber from the beginning, which Jedi Outcast didn't. The plot of that game revolved around the fact that your character had to earn their way up to a lightsaber. And in here, they just drop it on you. And I have something I want to bring up, just kind of first and foremost. This game, you can play it in first or third person. And when you're in first person, that's where you're regulated to using firearms primarily. Or it's where it's the best perspective for it. Honestly, I found the firearms to almost be a hindrance to my experience because I was only using them to solve like puzzles where you have to blow up explosives. And I was kind of annoyed anytime I realized it's like, oh, this is making me pull out a gun. I have a lightsaber. Why can't I just do cool lightsaber crap? But did any of you feel that keeping the gunplay in this was maybe not great?
Yeah. Well, because the problem is the one before, you start with the guns and you're in that, and then it's a revelation when the lightsaber comes. And so you probably even leave behind the guns. But to start with the lightsaber gives no reason to even have the guns. In fact, most of the time you accidentally switch to them. You're trying to switch force powers, you go to the guns. I feel like maybe take them out or keep it in third person at the very least. It just did not work for me. They should have gotten rid of that aspect.
I would like to counter that, actually. For most of the game, firearms, I take it or leave it. Especially any time a Dark Jedi is in a room, they're useless. They're absolutely useless, which means the second half of the game, they're pretty much useless. But for like the first half, and especially a level that takes your lightsaber away, I immensely enjoyed the gunplay. And I actually leveled up. I had a full shield, the protection, the green shield. And I leveled up lightning. So I threw on my shotgun. I listened to the Doom soundtrack. And I kicked open every fucking door. And I was throwing my lightning and shooting missiles and shotgunning. Blah, 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 blah. And it was so satisfying. And I mean, it was really only for one level that you really got to utilize it. But it was fun. But I think, yeah, it did feel like a remnant. I will concede to that. It felt like a remnant for what they wanted to do with the game, just because the previous games had them. But when they, especially at least in one level, when they force you to use them, I thought they were pretty entertaining, at least.
Yeah, I think I'd take a somewhat measured approach in this, because I didn't find the guns too terrible. Like that level Jake was talking about, you need the guns, like you cannot progress without them. And then there's also certain enemies where I found that the guns were just a better way to approach it, like the flying bounty hunter dudes. Sometimes I just couldn't get up there, couldn't throw my lightsaber far enough. They were going too quick. So I pull out like a flak cannon and just take them out of the sky. And I found that quite enjoyable. But where my biggest negative with that whole dynamic was the fact that you got the lightsaber off the bat. I think it kind of turned it into almost like a cheap starter weapon in a way. And one of the biggest staples or cliches of Star Wars games in general, where you get to play a Jedi, is creating your own lightsaber. They do it in pretty much all of the new ones. They did it in Knights of the Old Republic. I mean, in all these games, you work towards it. You're doing quite a big part of the game, and then you get that lightsaber, and it just opens up this whole new world, and you feel like you're really a Jedi. And I kind of didn't like that I got the lightsaber off the bat.
Yeah, to me, I want to compare it to Doom. It's like starting with the BFG. It's like starting with the Master Sword.
Yeah, kind of.
Instantly, I was like, why use anything else? I got my lightsaber. I made it. I'm on top. But I do want to say I did like the guns. The guns are great. They're fun. They got good alternate fires. I don't want to trash on them. They're great.
I think the weapons, like the guns and stuff like that, they just felt so underpowered compared to the lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my biggest problem with it, right? Like, what I wish would have happened was you started off, you did the trials. So you got to learn how to do all of your force stuff. And then you go and do your first mission and they don't give you a lightsaber yet. You have to earn it. So use the weapons, use the guns, get an idea of how the first person works in the game. And then use your force powers. And then something happens. And then, okay, now it's time to create your lightsaber. And that was the big thing with Jedi Outcast, was having to go through the trials with Kyle to finally go back to becoming a Jedi again after he wasn't for so long. It was a huge moment in the story arc, where this one was just like, all right, here, we're going to give you a dessert first.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I was really interested to hear, especially for those who had played Jedi Outcast, what you felt about, as Josh said, dessert first. So very interesting. So speaking of Kyle, I think we can get into the plot. With all respect to the Kyles of the world, because I'm very good friends with a Kyle. That was one of the most jarring things at the beginning of this game. Kyle is such, like, just a white bread American name that it's like, I'm a Jedi named Kyle. I was like, yeah. Really?
So do you know the story of Kyle?
The book
I read
of Kyle.
He was like a mercenary who is force sensitive, and the plot of Jedi Outcast, isn't it him working his way up to Jedi status?
Well, Back in Dark Forces, he was a stormtrooper that defected and turned into a mercenary. And the first mission in Dark Forces is that you're stealing the plans to the Death Star, right? So he was the one that was a part of the whole, you know, getting the plans
for
episode 4.
No, Kyle was not
four.
In Jyn Erso's crew. No. There was Cassian Andor.
Oh, we'll talk about that. No, but I mean, it's, you know, it was one of the first-person games that let you look up and down, because, you know, we keep making a lot of references to Doom. And everyone kept saying when this originally came out, this is just a Doom clone. It's a Star Wars Doom clone.
Yeah.
But this actually was different. It was like, you know, like I said, you can look up and you can look down. You had a little bit more world traversing. You had force powers that you were able to use. It was so great. And LucasArts made the first game off of an engine called the Jedi Engine. And then the second game came out. So Dark Forces 2. Kyle becomes the Jedi in that one. That's when the whole story happens, where he starts becoming force sensitive. And it was the first time that a lightsaber was recorded on camera since Return of the Jedi for the cutscenes of that.
Wait, are you saying there was live action cutscenes in Dark Forces?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the original or in two?
In one and two, I think. No, two.
Yeah. Okay, because I was watching gameplay of two. Because to catch up on like the history of everything, I was watching gameplay of the previous ones, and Dark Forces 2 hit me with that beautiful, beautiful live action cutscene, and I was cheering to myself. I was just like,
looked so good. Scenes looked so good compared to like the actual video game counterparts in them. I was like, kudos to that one.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, a little bit after that, you had Resident Evil come out, where they had the live action and it looked nothing like what you saw in the game, which is completely different. But Dark Forces 2, Kyle becomes a Jedi. Awesome story. Awesome thing of him, you know, going through the trials, becoming, you know, force sensitive and stuff like that. Expansion pack comes out. Mysteries of the Sith. Mysteries of the Sith, Kyle gets his first Padawan. First Padawan, Mara Jade. So it brings into Mara Jade into the actual Star Wars canon universe. And you get to play as her in that DLC. But the only reason that that expansion was made is because it's so close to Quake 2 and Half-Life coming out that Lucasfilms was like, or LucasArts was like, we need to get another Star Wars game out pronto. So they went and just pumped out this expansion that surpassed the regular game too. So kudos to them on that one. Then Jedi Outcast comes out a couple years later. And that was the game that, you know, as we all talked about at the beginning of this, blew everybody's expectations out of the water. Fantastic first-person mechanics. The build-up to getting to the lightsaber. The lightsaber styles that you were able to use in the game, depending on who you were fighting against and stuff like that. The online multiplayer lightsaber duels. Don't forget to bow. If you don't bow, you're a terrible Jedi.
Yeah, and I want to go into the online community, at least on Outcast, but it's probably the same on Academy. It wasn't those Call of Duty lobbies. It was something else. It was like ritual and form and the bowing. You had to bow. You had people keeping like arbitration between people. There were rules. It was like you had a Jedi Council on the servers.
It was so great. It was so great. It was like you walked in there, your first time in there, you're like, oh, this is different. This is weird. I love it.
Like, you jump on, you're like, let's fight. Why is everyone standing around or like sitting in a meditation pose? What are you all doing? Like, you are so naive.
Why? Talk about an intimidating community to enter into.
Before Kyle, the name Kyle, he's not wrong. Kyle has a legacy. I played the old ones. He's a great character. He has a great story behind him. But in the legacy of masters, Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon Jinn, Kyle.
Well, Ben Kenobi.
Right. No, right. Obi-Wan.
That was a nickname, though. I mean, what is Kyle short for? Oh, Kylo.
Yeah, Kyle the Ren.
It's just, like, Star Wars has always walked this line.
Yes.
Like Luke, obviously not.
Close.
Like, Luke is like almost a little elegant. Kyle, I don't know. I feel like South Park maybe has ruined
Kyle.
Like, and again, I know great people in my life named Kyle, but also it's like a king named Ralph.
King Ralph.
I have a topic I wanted to broach on this episode because as everyone was just discussing a plethora of multiple games that came out in rapid succession, Jedi Academy, its prequels, they were all produced by LucasArts at a time where like Star Wars games were legion. Jedi Academy came out in 2003, and so did the acclaimed Knights of the Old Republic. Mm. Around this era, a couple years before and after, we were getting movie tie-ins to each of the prequel installments. It was just such a hectic time, and not all of them were great. There were a lot of hits and misses out there. But compared to today, where it's just been a slow drip, what do each of us feel about like the state of Star Wars gaming? Was it better then? Is, you know, in any way, shape, or form? Like, do you think that fewer games means more attention to detail? Although that can be arguable based off of what EA has been doing. I want to just feel the room out. Like, Josh, what do you think about the current state of things?
Well, you do know, because you were a part of it, that we gave Jedi Fallen Order our game of the year.
In 2019, yeah.
Right. That was great. The Battlefronts. Yeah, it's same difference. They're really the same thing. Just one has lasers and the other one doesn't. They're just meh, blah. Like, I don't know. Like, the Star Wars games now, yes, they look pretty. They look shiny. But there's really no replay value to them. There's nothing that makes me want to go back, right? I beat Fallen Order and I was like, no, I really don't want to play Kashyyyk again. I hated that part of the game. Like, that whole section of the game is preventing me from going back and playing a game that I gave Game of the Year. I loved going back to Jedi Academy. I love going back to Jedi Outcast. Like, these are games that I can constantly go back. I still have them installed on my PC here because I just won't get rid of them because they are so fun. And I mean, yes, there was so many Star Wars games out back in the day, but they were all quality. You know, what did you have before the Jedi Knight games? You had the X-Wing and TIE Fighter games, right? And those critically acclaimed PC games, right? So, like, it was just hit after hit after hit after hit after hit, all the way up to the original Battlefronts, right? And then just they faded off into the distance. They walked off into the sunset.
That like, was the thing about, like, Star Wars is you forget they are a movie-to-game franchise, like, theoretically at least, but mm-hmm. they made amazing games. For something that comes from one medium to another, I mean, and I think back then, it was 2 points. One, kind of movies to games is about wrapping your skin around just a default game. Like, you get a shooter game, and it could be anything, and you just put your Star Wars costumes on the characters and the models and the levels. But that's not what Star Wars did. That's not what LucasArts did. They took what's good about their movies and made it good about the game. They didn't just dress up anything existing. And I think their legacy is amazing. I think people sleep on them as far as, like, I guess a studio or somebody who puts out games.
Well, I kind of agree with what everybody's saying. And then to add a little bit more, I think the Star Wars games have always been on the same level of quality to me. All the way back in, like, the Super Nintendo days, all the way to now, they always have, like, a big number of games that you can play at any given point, and one or two just diamonds, you know, that are just, these are the games you must play. And it was, for me, the first really, really big one was Knights of the Old Republic. That's kind of what got me into Star Wars gaming. But there's a ton, all the way up to, like, Fallen Order now. Like, Fallen Order is an amazing game. Just unbelievable, the amount of customization and the gameplay, how beautiful it is and how fluid the movements are. And I feel like every iteration, every, like, season of Star Wars games, they just kind of keep building off of what works and adding in the new technology, adding in new best practices, and they're not afraid. Something I would say about the people who make these games is they're not afraid to put in the time and effort to make something truly special. They're willing to do things that other teams aren't necessarily doing, like with the Knights of the Old Republic MMO, doing almost every dialogue voice acted was something that no MMO maker would have ever done before them. And now almost every game is almost entirely voice acted. And I think the Knights of the Old Republic MMO really set the stage for that. So they're trendsetters. They got a really good list of titles under them. And they just, I don't think they're definitely not getting worse, in my opinion. I think they're getting a little bit better each time, but it's the same quality from start to finish. I think it's that same mindset that Star Wars is such a big franchise. We need to do it justice. And they have that mindset in everything they create.
Can I just add too? Cause like we're talking about the PC ones, we're talking about the, you know, the Jedi Knight games, but like there's also the N64 era of Star Wars games. You got the Rogue Squadrons, you got mm-hmm. Shadows of the Empire, you got, you know, when you go to the GameCube, right? Like there was from the late 90s to the mid 2000s just banger after banger after mm-hmm. banger on across all consoles. Mm-hmm. Hell, even like Jedi Starfighter on the PS2 to the Obi-Wan game on the Xbox, like there was just so much goodness out there in Star Wars.
Sure, and how could we forget sure. Lego Star Wars?
Oh, my God.
One of the best games ever made.
I think my opinions across all you guys have basically been stated. I was actually going to say that time frame, too. Late 90s through the 2000s was the golden era of Star Wars games, I think. And I will say that there have been a few less than ideals as far as more recent, you know, installments. Like the new Battlefront. That's iffy. Some people don't like it. When it was initially released, it was all sorts of messed up with microtransactions, things like that. People didn't like that. I would even say Squadrons is a fun game, and it's very pretty, and it's a very cool like VR element, but I think it wasn't as fun as like the old Rogue Squadron games, things like that. Mm-hmm. But I do think after a fall, like a small stumble, the legacy that is Star Wars did pick back up with Fallen Order. I did not expect a game like Fallen Order to come after the last few installments, and it did pleasantly surprise me.
So I'm not going to disagree to any extent that there was a golden era for Star Wars games, and this was very firmly in it. But I think that it can't be denied that LucasArts constant production rate didn't produce a few duds. And I'm not saying that any of these duds overshadow the true classics. But like for me, the way I look at most of what LucasArts output was, I see a handful of top tiers. Your KOTORs, your Rogue Squadron, Rogue Leaders, your Pod Racer. I see, just to be honest, like there's a lot of games that are just like middle tier, solid Bs, and a couple of B pluses. And to me, that just comes down to the very rapid production cycle. Like when we were drowning in movie tie-ins, it's like, these are all good. These are adequate Star Wars adventures. But for me personally, there's a lot of them where I'm kind of like, I played that, but I don't think I would ever touch it again. And then you have the truly low tier, real bottom stuff. You have your Masters of Terras Kasi. Josh, I'm sorry, but I think Shadows of the Empire has aged like vegetables left in the sun. Like, I'm sure as a kid, I played the heck out of it because
don't
I
they
was
grow?
Like, Star Wars,
don't they
this
grow
is
in the
awesome.
Sun?
Yeah, and I played that game so
no,
much
like,
as a kid.
On that, like out on a tape, you know, like you take a carrot.
Listen,
and just leave it on
the
windows,
never,
on the windowsill.
I'm never going to defend the swoop bike levels. Okay, that even when I had to do it in Jedi Academy, I was like, God damn it, I forgot about the swoop bikes.
Mm-hmm. Your Force Unleashed 2. I mean, that was a classic. Josh and I whipping, you know, just whipping that game in a previous episode.
It was definitely a game.
The EA era hasn't been great. But I do think it's been a bit of an upward curve. Like, yeah. Battlefront 1, probably one of my biggest disappointments in gaming in my life. Battlefront 2, probably one of the biggest gaming rebound stories that I've seen. Like, not up with No Man's Sky and all that, but I think they came back in an impressive way. And then I think Fallen Order has been the cream of the crop. I haven't gotten to try Squadrons yet, because I've been personally just holding out to try it in VR, so hopefully soon. It is just radically different from an era where you could almost have like a spectrum of quality, like great in one way versus great in another way, and then the truly bad ones just live in the middle. And now, like I said, it's this weird curve upwards. So I just wanted to kind of see how we felt, because we obviously live in a very different era of gaming in general. So that was, no, thank you for sharing all those opinions. But
so Tom,
back
Tom,
to,
Tom,
oh, yes,
we,
yes.
We've talked about Jaden, we've talked about Kyle, but can we talk about the Eric Sparrow of the Star Wars universe?
What is an Eric Sparrow of the Star Wars universe?
Oh, the greatest video game antagonist of all time from Tony Hawk's Underground, Eric Sparrow. This is one of the most obvious heel turns I think I've ever seen in a story.
Let's give Jason Marsden though, right? Let's give him a round of applause, because listen, Jason Marsden, he's great. Eric Matthews' best friend in Boy Meets World, right? He was the voice.
Oh, is that who that is?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He was also, I believe, in one of the Batman animated series. He was Max in a Goofy movie.
Oh, I know that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
All right. Can we keep going? Like, come on. Jason Marsden, guys.
He's great.
But no, he's great, right? But Rosh is terrible. He is a horrible person. I am so, like, from the beginning.
Yeah,
from
the opening cutscene.
Yeah,
first
I was
line.
Like, oh, you're
hey,
you're gonna get
what are you doing? Are you a Jedi? Is that a lightsaber? Oh my god, I'm gonna be evil. It's like, oh.
He might as well have the dialogue that was like, I'm gonna be the bad guy, by the way. I'm gonna be a bad guy, just so you know.
I mean, he basically did. It was kind of ham-fisted.
Yeah, I agree.
Plus, he had that huge head. What was up with his head?
His head was really big.
It was massive. I thought I turned on, like, big head mode or something. I was so confused when he popped up on screen.
His mother was a Twi'lek, but he inherited most of his father's genes, you know, so he kind of had the bulge, but not the tentacle. Yeah. But yes, Rosh is your friend that you meet on the spaceship school bus on the way to Jedi Academy, and yeah. The space bus crashes, and you got to navigate the woods on Yavin 4, and you get to the Jedi Temple, and you encounter an enemy character, a dark Jedi, who says, "Mwahaha." I'm like, is that a red lightsaber? I just hear, "Mwahaha," and then he attacks him. Like, that's how I know he's evil. because he did the evil laugh.
But wait, let's go back to though. You know, we're doing these trials, right? A little bit after this, we're doing these trials, and Rosh is fucking you over in the
right
middle of the trials. He tries to kill you actually at one point where he releases a battle droid after you. But like, he's doing the same exact things that Eric Sparrow did to your character in Tony Hawk Pro Skater Underground.
He releases robots?
Releasing evil robots in Tony Hawk?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He kept doing these things, though, like that was trying to just always sabotage whatever you were going to do.
I thought I just didn't pay attention because when that scene happened, I was like, oh, man, I skipped a cutscene. He just released that robot because of something mean I did. It was out of nowhere. It didn't make any sense. He was like, hey, die. Why?
I'm gonna beat you in this race. It's not even a race, guys.
It's not a race.
Like, we're not even getting timed.
Guys, at the end, though, he was like, it's just a prank, bro. It's just a prank.
which legally gets you out of all crimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that on YouTube.
It's like declaring a sovereign citizen. You're not held to the law anymore when you say it's a prank, bro. It's like bird law.
So, but yes, as Josh mentioned, you enter the trials after you fend off the Sith attacking the temple, and then great value Luke Skywalker welcomes you to the academy.
Oh, whoa.
Let's
how dare you?
Spoiler.
But come on, Tom. What are you going to say?
I was just going to say that, like, it's this voice actor is doing his best Mark Hamill impression. It's very good. But, like, Luke's facial animation is very stiff. Everyone in this game, like, obviously, for the era, I'm sure it was fine at the time. But it's just Luke, and he's just like, welcome, Jaden. I'm so happy that you are my, like, here. Meet Kyle. I was just like,
No, it's not aged. It's not okay. It's not okay what they did to Luke. I'm with you 100%. It is. I was absolutely terrified. I was literally scared in my body, and I had chills when I saw him because the uncanny valley on him was unreal.
I can't tell if he looks better or worse here than he did in the season 2 finale of Mandalorian.
That's like, exactly really what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Oh, my gosh. I thought when I saw it, I was like, it's the Mandalorian. They went back in time and paid homage to the Mandalorian season 2. Like, that's what they did. It looked just like the weird deep fake. Like, the mouth doesn't move properly. Mm-hmm. The head motions are weird. Yeah. It was, you're 100% right.
He looked like he was body snatched, dude. He doesn't look natural. He activated my flight or fight.
Listen, Bob Bergen, though. Bob Bergen was the voice of Luke Skywalker for, like, every single video game that Luke's been in, all the way back since Rogue Squadron.
Okay.
Right? His Mark Hamill impression's really good.
It's good. I thought it was Mark Hamill.
Okay, yeah, I'll give it to him. It is a really good impression. Isn't it funny, though, that Mark Hamill, like, after all of this, after the famous Star Wars, was like, nah, just do Joker. Nah.
We need a voice actor to do Luke Skywalker. Well, let's just get an impersonator. He's a
Mark
voice
Hamill's
actor.
Right there. This is what he does now.
Voice actor.
Yeah, I don't think he can cut it.
Yeah, he's not good enough.
It's like those stories you hear where celebrities enter look-alike contests of themselves and lose.
Yes.
He loses a Mark Hamill sound-alike.
Yeah, he went to the audition and he didn't get it.
That's
like, hello, I'm Mark Hamill. We'll see about that.
He probably wore a disguise and then was like going to do a big reveal, and they're like, sorry, you didn't get the part. And he just never pulled off the disguise. He just went home and told nobody. Told no one that it happened.
Mark wasn't around to see the rest of the plot of this game, unfortunately, which is, it centers on force energy. This is the kind of crux of this game, is that a bunch of Sith acolytes or Sith disciples, what have you, are trying to gather force energy from across the galaxy to resurrect a long dead evil Sith Lord. And Luke tasks Kyle and Jaden and Rosh with traveling across the galaxy and completing missions that get you towards unraveling this mystery. I think we will probably spend too much time talking about the order in which we complete the missions, but however you do, you come to just a couple key crossroads in this story. The obvious spoiler, which no one would have guessed, is that Rosh turns to the dark side.
No.
Although the game gives him the little leeway of he was going to be killed by Teyvan. Is that how her name's pronounced?
Yeah.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Teyvan was going to kill Rosh, and Rosh pledged his allegiance to the dark side. So when Jaden comes to like this key moment, she is given the option. I'm saying she because my Twilight girl, but it's kill Rosh or spare Rosh and kill Talon's disciple who is like with him. What was her name? It starts with an A. I apologize Allura? For forgetting. It was like Allura. Okay. So what's the average here? If you went light side, speak up. Who went light side?
I went full light side.
Yeah, I did too.
Evil. I'm good every day of my life.
Josh, are we both Siths? Are we Siths on this show?
Yeah, I'm evil.
Yeah.
Rule of two?
Yeah. It's a fantasy. Be evil. What are you going to do? Yeah, pay your taxes.
That is true. Listen, that is true. So, well, I know, I mean, I've played this game numerous times, so I knew both ways. The thing is, you choose the dark side, you just upped your difficulty because now you just took it up to the next thing because very similar to Undertale, now you got to kill everybody. It doesn't matter if you're good, if you're bad, whatnot, you're killing everybody because both sides are coming after you. And yeah. And you also get an extra boss fight at the end of the game too.
I noticed that and I was not happy about it, but I had committed at that point. So like, all right. Mostly just because the extra time sink.
Yeah.
But how did you guys feel about the story progression from the light side?
Man, it was pretty straightforward. Like, it's, I don't know, they didn't get super creative with it, I don't think. It's you spare Rosh, you fight Allura, you kill Allura, you go fight the big bad, and then it's over.
Yeah, I agree. It was very linear, which I like linear games because then I can turn my brain off and just hold W and slash with my lightsaber. So this game was perfect for me, in all honesty, because I figured out some speed tech just to go that much faster. You know, little bunny hopping strategies, found ways to get off the map and skip entire sections. So it was great. And in fact, I accidentally and on purpose skipped quite a few cutscenes. So half the time I didn't know what was going on, but I knew hold W and kill the bad guys. So classic light side, you know?
Yeah, I didn't choose the bad side for like the story. I chose the bad side because it's fun. When I played Jedi Outcast, I played only the multiplayer, really. I played some of the story, but like I cared about the fun. Because here's the thing, Raven does make a fun and cool technical game, but they are bad at story sequences. They're bad at cinematics. They're bad at like getting the characters not to seem like animatronics where they can only make one motion and one noise at a time. They turn their body like a robot and they go, hide there. And then they turn their body back in their head and then they walk like a mannequin. Like, that's how this felt for me. So I was like, no, skip all this. Let's have fun.
You know, when I mentioned with Luke, but yeah, throughout, I agree that a lot of the cutscenes in this were pretty janky, limited motions, things like that, which I think is kind of funny because I was reading a developer diary from 2003 that GameSpot hosted with Raven Software. And they were like, we're trying to make this the most cinematic, immersive Star Wars experience possible. And again, you know, great value, Luke Skywalker. But here's something that I think is funny about the dark side path is knowing what they both are, because I looked into it after finishing the dark side ending is so open-ended and inconclusive that it's very unsatisfying. And also just like the choices that Jaden makes by picking the dark side don't make a ton of sense compared to the light side. Like, I understand what you guys are saying. Once you pick light side, you're picking the average hero's journey. This has to be the, you know, the righteous ending. But then you go dark side and maybe it opens up more craziness in it. But then the story ends on a very unsatisfying note for me anyway. And I just want to comment on something I wrote down early in the game when we're talking about light versus dark side. I don't remember if this was Kyle or Luke who said this, but actually it was Kyle. He says, Force abilities are neither good nor evil. It's how you use them. And I was like, how the hell is Force Choke ever used for good? Like, it's just one of those moments where they were trying to put the whole, like, oh, you know, duality, like, you can choose your own path. But, like, look, if you choose Force Choke, I think you're pretty, you know where you're going.
If you meet the right lady.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum.
You're not supposed to have romantic attachments as a Jedi. So you
only Force Choke consensually. That's the key.
I think that's why so many Jedi turned. Are rules like that. Like, you can't have a girlfriend, built but up I like this girl. There's no absolutes except for all of these absolutes that you must follow.
And technically, you can force choke a cat out of a tree.
That's true. I guess that's morally gray, right?
He's okay.
Yeah. You could also force pull, but...
Force pull might fine. Kill him.
I mean, well...
You pull him out of that tree.
If you're milking a blue cow, right?
Oh, grip right? And pull?
Yeah.
Can you please elaborate how choking a cat with the force is less lethal than pulling a cat with the force? I need to hear this now.
Well, your whiplash could be pulling.
Oh, you're supporting fast. The neck with the force choke.
Exactly. It's like a baby.
Oh, you got to hold a head.
Also, force choke, is it only the throat? Can you, like, just grip anything?
Anywhere you want, baby.
See, that's what I thought Josh was going for. And that's canon. That's the space canon. Cow, because you could choke the teats. Blue milk out.
Choke
that.
The teats.
You can milk so many
that's
cows.
That's what I thought.
Straight out of the farmer's manual. Just choke that teat. Get the milky.
But Tom, so you talked about, like, you know, the differences in the endings. You say about how you felt just unsatisfied with the dark side ending, and then the light side ending was, you know, the hero's journey. And at the end of it, it was built up like there was going to be another game, right? That's also another reason why the bad ending is good, because there is no other game. So now you're not left with that hope of being able to continue the journey down to Jedi Academy 2. Right? Now you're just like, oh, I finished as a bad guy? Well, the expanded universe doesn't exist anymore. So I guess that's where his story ends.
Well, the thing is, it's not like that, in my opinion, because the good ending, you defeat the resurrected Sith Lord and you stop all of his acolytes and you get back to the Jedi Academy and you're awarded. And the openness of that ending is basically just like, and there was years of adventures out there, but that's, you know, like, you know, that's a different kind of open ending than Jaden now has the staff with all of the corrupted force power and she has stolen a Star Destroyer and is off to conquer the galaxy. And Kyle and Luke are left to be like, we're going to have to hunt Jaden down and kill them. And Luke's like, no, I still sense good in them. Like, that sets up a fourth game about redeeming Jaden. Whereas the other one is just like, and they had many more adventures, you know, like.
One sounds like a really good opening into a really solid game. Because that story would be super cool, having to fight the apprentice after the apprentice, you know, turned evil and all that, especially in like chasing somebody in a Star Destroyer and all that. But I mean, the light path, it ends like what every D&D adventure ends. You beat the big bad and then happily ever after.
Yeah.
They had adventures, but we're not getting to them.
You're back to one and you're good. You can repeat the cycle, but then. Bad side, you end on like 5 or 6, and they're like, who knows what'll happen? We're going to go kill him, or we won't.
I mean, look, Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade, the best Indiana Jones movie, don't at me, ends with him riding off into the sunset. I don't know how many more adventures he's going to have, but I just know he's just going out there. And that's
he
it.
Has one more. Don't worry about that.
Well, that's what I mean. I didn't need to know what the next adventure was, but I got it. And I'm getting another one, apparently.
If you end a game on the dark side, you should end it like the Mortal Kombat Conquest, the TV show, Conquest, I believe, ended.
Yeah.
And if you guys remember, I watched it religiously, Shao Kahn sent out some ninjas that roundhouse kicked all the heroes to death on the final episode, and they lost, and the Earth was destroyed.
Everybody died in the TV show.
Yeah. The Liu Kang figure just got roundhouse kicked by some rando ninja and the series was over. And he just...
Should have ducked.
But that's the way to end on the bad side. Bad guys win needs to be all bad guys win. Like, just...
Yeah. Well, I mean, even doing the bad guy ending, though, the way that they had this set up, it was very similar to, like, Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was like, who knows what's going to happen now? Like, ooh, I was more intrigued with that ending.
Yes.
And the fact that, like I said, you also got to fight Kyle. At the end of the dark side. Mm-hmm.
But if they never made a Star Wars movie past Empire Strikes Back, would that ending still be satisfying?
No. It would suck. That was the problem.
Just say. Just
looks like we're at a standstill.
All right. Well, this game's got a rich legacy that I think I would really love you guys to dive into. I think JB, Cowboy, and Josh might know the most about this. It was well received by critics at the time, a little less appreciated than Jedi Outcast, but overall positive reviews. So this game has two distinct kind of claims to fame. The first is that this is considered one of, if not the best examples of Star Wars lightsaber combat in the video game medium. Where are we on this?
Hard disagree.
Me too.
At the time, yes.
In the lens of the current time, yeah.
People say that today, though.
Yeah, they do. People still do argue it today, and that's why I want to hear opinions like
it's rough now. It's rough now.
It's real rough. The way it locks you into certain animations and the way the camera moves and the way the attacks don't quite go where you want them to. And I gotta say, the biggest thing I hate was they added in these effects to where if your lightsaber touches an enemy or touches the wall without swinging, it'll do all the sparks and the lasers and all the stuff will go crazy, but it does no damage. Zero damage. So there were times when I would sit there and I would just hold the lightsaber in the person and swing it back and forth and nothing. Just nothing. And I just enjoyed that a lot. But overall, it was just wonky. It was very good.
Super wonky. Yeah. So I went into this game knowing the praise about, you know, the system, the whole combat system and things like that. I felt so floaty and so disconnected sometimes with what was going on. I felt like a feather flying around the arena, swinging aimlessly. Sometimes my lightsaber would connect and sometimes it wouldn't. And I could not figure out how lightsaber duels worked. This entire game, I was like, okay, there's a Dark Jedi. Yeah. Just like beat the shit out of him until he eventually died or I died. And then I just progressed from there. This entire game, I had no idea what I was doing, but it looked cool. I'll say that. It looked cool while it was happening, but it wasn't as solid as I was expecting, considering its legacy.
Yeah, you pretty much do your best Yoda versus Count Dooku impression. Yes. A massive amount of flipping and swinging wildly.
I will say, like, the lightsaber fights in this game just looked like you were throwing two action figures at each other.
Oh my God,
the entire time.
That's so, yes.
That's good. That's true.
Yeah, no, floaty and janky are the two key things. It was just like hack and slash for me until everyone fell down. There was no weight to the character. There's very little weight to the character, even in regular thing. It's like, it almost feels like they're gliding the whole time. So I was really surprised at just how unimpressive the combat was, because that was something I was aware of forever. They were like, this is the standard. I feel like it has been surpassed. And yet I was watching a lot of like videos just in prep for this, where I would see people say that like future games try to make the combat more about flash and with the focus on force powers, like they singled out the Force Unleashed. And then I saw a video that was like, well, Fallen Order gets closest to it, but it doesn't have the level of, they just, you know, people were saying finesse or customization. Like they claim it's a little bit more, I guess, in the online community, which I was just about into, but like this game allows you to have more of a style and a flair to the combat. Can anyone just elaborate on that for me if you agree?
Yeah, no, it does. So it's you got to get into the multiplayer servers. And then back then when it was big and the skill ceiling is so high. I remember when first getting into it and I go into a lobby and I'm like, I'm going to duel somebody. Let's fight. And I go up and this guy has his clan tags. And there's a whole community kind of set things. There's clans. People get on. They socialize. They hang out. And I start dueling this guy and he doesn't even draw his lightsaber yet. He is just dodging everything. He's pulling me. He's pushing me. The thing with this is it's so janky and unwieldy or unruly and that learning to control the jank and become a master of it over, I don't know, months is how you get good. You finesse all the flaws in it and you learn to like really just, I don't know, it's like min-maxing. People were so incredibly good at this that you couldn't even touch them. You couldn't get close. And I think that's what they're talking about.
It's like PvP in Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say the same exact thing. Yes. such a solid, like by Dark Souls 3, it was refined and the combat was hard and fluid and the hitboxes were great. As soon as you were invaded, the lag came in and everybody was just swinging wildly until they glitched behind you and killed you. Like, that was my whole experience there. And I felt like, so it's not the same in the online community. I didn't get to play Jedi Academy at all online. So I know nothing about it.
Their server is still up, by the way. People in them. I saw at least 100, 120. I don't know why 20 would matter, but I saw that many populating them tonight.
I would assume, because they just re-released this game, right? In what, 2020? So, like, people love this game, and I can only assume that the online community is still thriving.
In particular, in the online community, this has a huge modding scene.
Yes.
And the big one that I found in researching this is called Movie Battles 2, which the whole Movie Battles modding series seems to just be based on the fact that it was dedicated to literally getting things so precise that you could create iconic scenes from the movies or the expanded universe in this game. And it's been graphically and mechanically expanded over the years to enhance play styles and things like that. Do any of you have experience with that community or any other modding community? Like, what are some big examples of user-created mods that you've seen, if at all?
So my thing was, when I played these back in the day, I modded them. My thing was, I mean, at that time, I was, what, 11, 12 when this came, like, when this happened? So I was modding him as, like, oh, I'm going to be Iron Man, or I'm going to be Captain America with a lightsaber now. Like, I'm going to be Batman with a lightsaber. Like, now I'm even more badass
Disney
than I originally
was. You knew Disney was going to buy this. You knew.
Exactly, right? But, like, that was the kind of stuff that I did. I was like, what famous, like, pop culture or superhero-ish characters can I bring into the Star Wars universe and then play as?
Yeah, and I didn't mod at all because I was around that age too. And I don't want you guys to think, because I'm all about this and was super into it, that I was any good. I was the guy that went in to get his shit kicked in, like, constantly. Like, I lost every battle. I was there to make other people feel good about themselves. That was my role.
I didn't mod this time around, and I didn't mod last time, even though it's a different game I played for some reason, but... I did look into quite a few of the mods through, like, my research and things. And one of the biggest ones I found that has this huge community is the, oh man, what is it called? Like, the speed something mod. And the entire thing is for speedrunners to get a more accurate representation of what the game was like on launch. So they actually revert a bunch of different patches in order to make it more realistic to what it was at the time. Because I guess at some point they made these changes that made speedrunning harder or different or whatever it was. There's still a lot of tech that's still in the game, even on the most recent release. But there's a couple things I guess you can't do. And I thought that was cool. And I've been looking into the speedrunning side of things because I do like speedrunning. And I might, if I can get used to the janky movement and controls, I think I could see myself speedrunning this game. It's pretty quick, like 30 minutes. So there's a lot of things you can do with it. And then the other mod I saw was something that I'm actually interested in. I didn't install it, but it's supposed to make the lightsabers more realistic in the way that you handle combat. So I hope that fixes a lot of the jank that I've been seeing. And I might give that a shot afterwards.
Well, at this point, Josh, we got to ask, what's the question, Josh?
At the end of the day, it comes down to, would you skip, play, finish, or master this game?
Yes, it's a play. It's a fun game. I don't think you should complete it. I think you should get in. And this is in context to, like, modern day, right? This is looking at games in a new light. Today, play it. Don't get super into it, because the thing is, there are new games that does what this does, and most people that weren't crazy about this, who already know about this and would revisit it on their own, people who this isn't in their history, you're not going to be crazy about it. You're going to have fun for a bit, for a night, for a couple of nights maybe, but you're not going to complete this. You're not going to finish it. You're not going to master it.
I'll counter that. Hard, baby. I haven't played this before, and I haven't played any of the Jedi Knights games, anything like that. I'm jumping in this, and at first, you know, it took a little getting used to, because the game was made almost 20 years ago. Had to get used to the graphics, things like that. But I don't know, an hour or two in, I was like, all right. And by the end of the game, I was like, fuck yeah, I'm trolling around with my dual lightsabers. I don't know what's going on, but it's so fun. And then I jumped in for another playthrough right afterwards. I would say definitely finish this. It only takes like 10 hours. If you're watching all the cutscenes, it takes like 10 hours, which isn't a ton. It's like $10. on Steam right now. So it's $1 an hour of fun. That's great value, like Luke. So I would say 100% play this game and finish it, man. Like it was cool. It was just cool. This game was cool. If I played this when it came out 1,000 years ago, when I was but a teenager, I would have loved the hell out of this game.
I think I'm kind of torn a little bit between finish and master, because the speedrunning community on this is so active, and there's so many different things you can learn and master with it, that I think if you are interested in that side of things at all, breaking games in general, this game is easily broken. So there's a lot of things you can master there, and it really intrigues me. At the very least, even if you're not interested in that side of things, I would agree with Jake that you should finish it. The different upgrades you get, the progression of your character, the different lightsaber styles. You can do the dual lightsabers, the double bladed, which was my favorite. And it kind of changes the flow of the game in a way that keeps it interesting as time goes on. So I think it, for me, it's an easy finish with potential master in there.
I'm definitely going to say finish this game. I'm not going to say master it, because there's a lot that you can do and there's a lot that you can break in this game. And if you really want to put so much more extra time into it, 100% do it. But I would say personally, finish it. We didn't talk about a very particular piece of this game too, is the whole game is choose your own adventure. Do whatever missions you want to do. Right. Yeah. If you hate going to Tatooine or whatever that planet was and jumping around and getting away from the
Tremors.
Exactly. The crate dragons or whatever they were in the ground. Like, you don't need to do that mission. If you don't want to go, I mean, I think you have to do the Jawa one.
Save the Jawas for Tusken Raiders.
Yeah. That one was terrible too. But like, you might not need to do that one. I don't remember if that was one that you got to select or not. But like, that's the thing. If you hated certain missions in this game, you didn't need to play them. It entices you more to go in, do the things that you really enjoyed in it, level up however you want to, become, you know, everything that I leveled up was electricity. I leveled up that as fast as I possibly could, because I was like, if I'm not going to use lightsabers, I'm just going to shock everybody to death. I don't care. But no, I mean, there's so much fun to it. Like I said, I chose the bad ending because I knew it was much more, you upped the difficulty for yourself and you got that extra boss battle at the end. Plus it also gives you that Empire Strikes Back-ish ending that will, you know, possibly continue this franchise, which sadly it won't. But yeah, you know, definitely, I would say finish this game and enjoy the hell out of it. And definitely stop online. You know, check out that online scene and see how fun it is.
I'm at a real soft play, I think.
Yes.
Don't you yes that?
Yeah, I didn't try the online, so I admittedly don't have the full picture. Maybe you sit down and you try the online, and through playing it, it encourages you to finish or master it. But at the end of the day with the story, I wasn't too hooked, and in the end, I was just flat out like, unengaged. And none of this matters because it's not canon anymore. Oh, no. No.
Wait, does it intrigue you at all to go back and want to try the other games?
I can't say it does. I'm sorry. Like, knowing that you're going backwards from here, backwards from... If this was like the best combat, and as I said, it's a little jank, a little floaty, I can't imagine going backwards. But I like conceptually a lot of what this game does. The customization, the path choice, the choices, and the fact that there is a fully fleshed out ending, even if I didn't care for one. Like, I admire that this game at least has the work put into it. Didn't fully click for me, which is why I'm just saying it's worth a play. It is worth a play.
I have one last question.
Oh yeah, sure. I do too.
This is for the group.
Okay.
Is this better than Jedi Outcast?
No. It's the same, with the worst story and probably not as thriving as a community. I imagine the first community was best community. So no, just because it's a slightly deteriorated version of Outcast.
That's a hard question to answer, because when you're looking at any game through nostalgia, which I would be looking at Outcast through, you only really remember the good parts and you kind of forget all the janky nonsense that was going on. And really, at the time, you know, we were children or maybe teenagers, you didn't have a lot of expendable income to buy all the different games and really see what was out there. So you had to spend a lot of time with one game or just a few games. And I think that tints our perspective of how good these games were quite a bit, because it's like a sunk cost fallacy almost. The more time you spend with a game, you have to think it's good. Otherwise, you're wasting your life. It's kind of how I feel about WoW. And then, yeah. So it's hard for me to say, but gut reaction, I agree with Cowboy. No, it's not better. But if I really think about it, it's probably better. I don't know, though.
Well, I'll let you guys know. Jedi Outcast is available still to this day. You can download it and play it, and it is a better game than this.
I haven't played it, but I'll agree.
It's so good. Like I said, the whole first half of that game, like the gunplay actually works, and it doesn't seem weak. Like it actually feels like a good first-person shooter with an amazing build-up to becoming a Jedi.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, and I know, I believe myself, and it has been said online that the story is much better. And you're going to like Kyle more because he doesn't seem so ridiculous as the master, mm-hmm. Kyle.
Yeah, and that's the thing, he doesn't want to be a master. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just like, don't call me that, don't call me that.
Yeah.
He is a jaded high school teacher who didn't make it in his career field, but is now teaching it. That's the big energy I get off of Kyle.
Very accurate.
But my last question is, why was everybody so upset about force healing in Star Wars Episode 9 when it's a basic ability you can select in this game?
I think people love to hate on established franchises. And I love the new movies. I absolutely loved them. I enjoyed every moment of it. I love Rey Skywalker. Like, it's great. And the hate it got, it was just a bunch of nerds being like, oh, pineapple on pizza is gross. I hate you, you know? And they don't actually mean it. They don't really care. It's just fun to talk about and hate on things. So yeah. That's the reason they hate on it.
Nobody hates Star Wars more than Star Wars fans.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Is the old chestnut.
100% correct.
But yeah. But at this time, Josh, I think we need to let the head-to-head boys, Hot Dog and Grandstand, please, in any way you want, please tell our listeners where they can find you and your delightful show. Just go off.
Yeah, I feel another half an hour, so guys,
just talk about yourselves for 30 minutes.
I mean, we could if you want us to. Oh, we could. But I do think the boss has actually prepared something for us to read so we don't get fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Contractual obligations.
Right. I'm going to let him into the Discord. Hang on.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, boss.
Oh, you actually added him. Hey, boss. You're on with Cast of the Past, that podcast we told you we'd be on with.
All right, listen up, lame brains. You called me after hours at work. This is unacceptable. I need you to hang up right now. I am knee-deep in a blood sports arena, and I am not leaving until I make my money back. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
Yeah, boss.
In my office, 9 a.m. Monday, or you're fired.
Right.
Great talking to you.
Are we going to get sued?
So wait, at 9 o'clock, you guys got to be in his office. But it sounds like you're going to get fired if you go to his office. But if you don't go to his office, you're going to get fired.
Welcome to our world.
These things have a way of working out. So I wouldn't... I'm gonna update my resume.
All right. Well, while you still have jobs, Cowboy, why don't you tell us about your show?
Sure. So the show, for anybody who hasn't watched it, it's a little different than most podcasts. It's a bit of a hybrid show because it does have that classic gaming podcast kind of element, but it's also wrapped up in a fictional narrative. And the best way I've described it is it takes a page from Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's got that whole shtick. We are three game journalists who work at a evil media giant called Game Corp, and he has forced the three of us to do a head-to-head podcast where we don't celebrate games, we make them battle to the death. And so the first half of most of our episodes are very fun and lighthearted, full of trivia, listener questions, kind of stuff to warm you up to the bloodshed. And we have a lot of fun and funny in those. And then we get down to just straightforward head-to-head reviews of two very similar games that we think fill the same hole in your soul. And we tell you which one better fills it, which one better fills your hole. By that, I mean, which one is a better buy?
Yeah, absolutely. Please give them a listen. You can find links to their show down in the episode info. But I think that's all we got for today. I think we have to leave the era of history that we met these guys in, Josh. We have to get out of here.
Yeah, yeah. We got to boot up that Triflex capacitor. We got to hit the old dusty trail.
You guys really should start conserving water, just to give you a heads up.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. We have to wake up at 5 a.m., which is also cool, too, but I like what you guys do. Time machines.
Yeah. But ladies and gentlemen, until next time, this has been Josh.
And Cowboy.
I have to go last.
Let's all say our names all together. Okay. 3, 2, 1. I'm Jake.
Cowboy.
And JB.
Cowboy.
Hey.
And we will see you in the future.
While we boot up the Triflex capacitor, please take some time to subscribe to the show and leave us a review wherever you listen. This show is nothing without you, and any support helps.
If you want to connect with us and discuss the past, present, and future of gaming, please follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
We also have a Twitch channel where we play games for the show and for fun, so come chat with us anytime.
Thanks again for listening,
and we'll see you in the future.